Today's daf is daf mem hey. Let's do a little brief review for the poor suckers who make it in time. Yeah, very sad. So we've had some very important yesodas laid here in the dinim of muktzah. So far we've seen four different major shitas in the dinim of muktzah. So far we don't know all of the details yet of these shitas, but at least we've introduced certain concepts in the Mishnah. We had muktzah machmas mi'uz, which was the most evident aspect in the Mishnah, which is the ner yashan. And we had muktzah machmas isur, which is a ner that is dolek. And we've had the combination of the two. We have a ner dolek that is also ma'uz. It's not 100% clear whether there's that combination is the functional reason for the isur over here, whether one would work without the other. We're going to need time to see that, legabe, all of the shitas. But so far what we discovered is that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only problem that we have is not with mius at all. There is bishat ma'aseh, that the nair is burning, and only then do we have an issue of muktzah, which apparently means something other than taking the shemen in the nair, because that would be also anyway, minyaraisa, because of mechava, so he's got a separate issue. His son, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, agrees with that, but doesn't even hold that there's another problem besides the mechaber. So if the ner was anyway sputtering out, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, it's now another shita, you would be allowed to actually take the shemen at that time. So that it's not even hukta, even while it's still burning, as long as there's no problem of a kibui.
He doesn't think that having less would make it even more sputtering.
It won't make it any more sputtering. If it would, it would be kibui.
Rabbi
Meir holds that you cannot be metatan lechora, he talks about, even tiltu, just because of Isser being asur. So he says, a ner shidliku bo b'shabbat, which means that he holds that there's a concept of an ongoing muktzah, because even if the ner goes out, it remains asur, which is not true according to Rabbi Shimon. And then we have Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you cannot be metaltal, not for muksan machmas isser, and not for muksan machmas mius. In the continuation of the Gemara, we also introduced a new concept, which was a basisa davar ha'asur, and the idea of something which is muksa ben ashmashot, kiva dit katsoi the ben ashmashot, it katsoi lekol ayom kulo. And there we said that too, of course, is part of the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, in the case of the mechanism of the stagecoach and so on. So we had over there, if there was Moes that was on it beforehand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be Osir the whole time. But the Braita, which is not, the Mishnah rather, which is not talking about like Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's only Osir while it's actually on it. Then we introduced the idea of defining a Kli as being set aside for a Basis Davar HaAsur. So we had an idea called a money bet. Where over there, it's Shayach that if you're Koveya, it's usage before. And you also used it in such a fashion before, then even if currently it doesn't have anything on it, it remains miyufet for that usage, because you've set it aside. So that's a muktzah, which has been expressed in the Kli, but which currently isn't evident in the Kli. So it's your own determination as to usage, which was actually followed through with an act, that can be koviya, a concept called a basis now, or, even in cases where it's not serving as a basis, as something that's miyukad and set aside not to use for its purpose on Shabbat. Interesting new idea. Now yesterday we claimed that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The reason we had no choice but to claim that was because according to Rav, he said that if you have money that was on the bed the entire Ben HaShemashah, then even if you hadn't defined it as such, but once it became muktzah for Ben HaShemashot, it became muktzah for the whole day. In order to answer the contradiction of the Mishnah of the stagecoach engine, we had to explain that one is going Rabbi Shimon, that the stagecoach was mutter as long as it's not on it at that point, whereas Rav apparently was going Rabbi Yehuda. He must hold Rabbi Yehuda. And we proved that, apparently, yesterday, by this difference that Rav makes between a ner that is going to be hung on a tree, which he says you mustn't hang it on a tree on Yom Tov, apparently because you'll come to take it on and off of the tree on Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to use a tree. So there it's asur. Mashenkin on Shabbat, it's mutar. If Rav held the Rabbi Shimon, why would it be mutar? On Shabbat, you're also allowed, according to Rabbi Shimon, to remove the ner from the tree once it goes out. So it should have been the same. must be therefore the Rav holds of Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rav turns out to be consistent in this. The problem is that today we see an inconsistency in Rav. Ask the Gemara, the Rav to Rabbi Yehuda, we're one-fifth of the way down here. The Rav to Rabbi Yehuda, Sphirolet. Does Rav need hold of Rabbi Yehuda? Are you allowed to move a Hanukkah menorah that has gone out and there are chaverim around? We know that these chaverim, we learned before that they were Zoroastrians. They didn't allow people to light fires in their own rishuyos if it was a worship day. And so you could get into a lot of trouble. Now, it wasn't the sakanat nefashot, and obviously if it was, there was nothing to ask. But you could get yourself a stiff fine, and it was unpleasant. So they wanted to know if you could take your Hanukkah menorah after it goes out and bring it indoors so that nobody would see it. The Amar Lahu, so Rav answered them, Shapir Dami, it's okay. Well, what do you mean it's okay? It's only okay according to Rabbi Shimon? I thought you said Rav was like Rabbi Yehuda. No, I mean, it's not a regular case, is it? Sha'at Chak, shining, in a place where there's some element of risk. Over there he was martyred. Yomali Rav Kana Rav Atzel Rav. In fact, if you want to know, there was a follow-up story to that psak. Rav Kana Rav Asi asked Rav, what? Okay, Yilkata, that's not lucky, you're allowed to move a Hanukkah menorah on Shabbat. Amar Lahu, what's the deal? Gedayu Rabbi Shimon, the smoke ala b'shat ha-chak. You have a sheet of Rabbi Shimon, you can't rely on Rabbi Shimon's sheet, there was such a pressure. Okay, so apparently it was only because it was a Shabbat Chag. Normally, he would have passed it like Rabbi Yehuda, which is what he did in the two occasions that we spoke about yesterday, that you're allowed to light a Shabbos candle and hang it on a tree, because once it's lit, even when it goes out, you're not going to use it anymore, and therefore you won't come to being Meshamish with the Ilan on Shabbos. And the other halakha, which was consistent with Rabbi Yehuda, was his din of basis, that where you left money on something, you can't move that thing if it was there during the Bein HaShemesh.
Common phrase,
Kedai Rav Shimon? Yeah. It is. Reish Lakish wanted to clarify from Rav Yochanan. What we've seen so far in Rav Shimon is that situations where an act was done that would set aside a nair, we saw that he held that does not koveya that you can't use it the rest of the day. We also saw that the fact that something is mos is also not koveya that you can't use it, even immediately. But the question is, in both of those cases, nothing active was done which implied that you were finished permanently from using this thing. Because, again, on Shabbat, in a case where you had used a ner that was in a kara, there was a lot of oil, we said that over there, Lamaisa, you weren't going to come back to using it. So that obviously it's not all that simple. Even if it went out, there's some element of mukta that Rabbi Shimon agreed to that was evident yesterday. Now my question is this. The things that he agreed to are things that Lamaisa are currently unusable, correct? How about in an inverse situation? Something which is currently usable, but you had in mind, obviously, through what you did, never to think about them again. Classic case being, you took seeds, you scattered them on the ground. Now your intent is that those seeds should germinate and sprout. You are certainly not going to go around there and pick up the seeds now and decide you're going to eat them. On the other hand, there's nothing at all that's not roy about them. They haven't yet taken root. You just did it 5 minutes ago. Oh yeah, the seeds that are in the yard. Now you suddenly remember on Shabbos, your parakeet, you ran out of parakeet food. Can you pick up the seeds and feed it to your parakeet? So there the shaila is. Can we also say that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is such a thing as an act of muktzah on a dover haraoi? That there is an act of muktzana davar she'eino ra'ui, such as a ner, which is dolei, in a case where it has a lot of shemen in it, like the lantern case we had yesterday. We already know that Rabbi Shimon holds this concept called muktza. When he says, I don't hold a muktza, all we've seen is he doesn't hold a muktza machmat isur, and he doesn't hold a muktza machmat mihuz. But he certainly agrees that there is a type of muktza in which you could be mikatzed midatcha for the purposes of isur. Is it also possible to be mekatze midatcha, even though it's completely usable, but because the circumstances, you've decided, I'm going to use this to sprout, and not for my parakeet. So my question is, chitim shezar'an bekarka, now obviously, zar'an bekarka doesn't mean literally zar'an bekarka, because I mean, then you're not allowed to take them out on Shabbat, because it's chilul Shabbat. What we mean is you scattered them on bekarka. Now they would take root if they stayed there a few days. But it's only 5 minutes. Nothing much has happened. And besides, you've been watching. Nothing will happen while you watch, you know. So there's the question is, can I pick them up again? Or, beitzim shetachat ha-tarnagolet. I set these eggs up underneath my tarnagolet. I'm interested that they should hatch, and therefore we're waiting, basically, for my incubator to hatch. Certainly, so far, there's nothing wrong with these eggs. They're only 5 minutes old. I mean, I can certainly go and eat them. But it's Shabbos now. Do I have it in a mukta and a davar aroi? Mouth. So, ki letle, l'Rabbi Yishimon muktek lo dake b'yadayim. Maybe the only time that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to a concept of, Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree to a concept of mukta, is where you didn't do anything to actively push this out of sight and out of mind. Now, you're not interested anymore. But heter dake b'yadayim, eat like mukta. However, if you actively put it aside in a way that is no longer going to be usable in your mind, maybe he would agree that there's such a thing as mukts. Maybe he doesn't hold of the idea of mukts at all. Omar lay, and Rav answered, Ein mukta l'Rabbi Shimon, el ha-shemen she-bener b'sha'ah shehu dolek. There's only one case of mukts of Rabbi Shimon. That obviously doesn't mean there's only one case, because we know the case, the din in the ner is that it's mukta even b'sha'ah she-eno dolek, in the case of ha-shashit. So as Rashi explains, the point over here is Ein mukta l'Rabbi Shimon in something that is currently roi to use. Because that was the only question that we were asking. And it's only in that particularly defined set that he's giving his answer, Rav. There is nothing that he would be included in such a set. There's only one case. The case is where you have a curious combination of factors. Because do we not have to take into consideration the fact, A, you set it aside, B, there was Isser involved, as long as it's been delayed, and C, because it's a mitzvah, and there Shabbat is something that you set aside for a mitzvah, we know that there's a concept of Uksil mitzvah. We've already seen that by the Schach of a Sukkah, or the decorations of a Sukkah. I understand that is a very special case, but don't compare that to a case where I scattered some seeds for planting. There's no mitzvah, there's no Isser, there's only Kitzui Midayt and Adover Aroi. So if you yourself already know that the case that we've seen of Rabbi Shimon, which is the model case, is a case that contains so many additional factors. Is it a little bit silly to ask, how about if I strip it of all those factors? Obviously, he's not going to hold him. He's katsuri alone unless he has these additional elements. Okay, so now we're introducing something new, which we mentioned briefly yesterday, and said that the Mishnah is tantalizing us by talking about this case because of the problem of Huksa l'mitzvato. So therefore, says Rav, it's not tantalizing. That's the reality. Ein mukta l'Rabbi Shimon el ha-shemen she-bener b'sha'ah shehu dolek ho'il v'huktza l'mitzvato. It should say here v'huktza l'isuro. This is a mistake. It's a error in which the printer brought in the girsa later on the daf, which says this for a very important reason. But here it means since we have two different issues besides the fact that it's lit in the candle. And that is, that it's dafka, this case, because of two issues. It's huksa l'mitzvah, and it's huksa because of the yisr, that I can't put it out. But mashma'ut is, that had it only been one or the other, including huksa l'mitzvah tov, there would have been no problem. That's the mashma'ut.
It's not
Rav,
it's Rav.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I keep saying Rav.
Yeah.
Asks the Gemara, no, wait a minute. So Rabbi Yochanan is implying now that if it was only huksa l'mitzvato, that wouldn't be enough? Is that true? V'yatanya, sichecha k'hilchata, getting to the case of the sukkah. And by the way, once again I want to stress to you that the words shemen shebener, Tosfos goes out of his way to again stress the same thing, that shemen shebener cannot mean shemen shebener literally, because the Shemen Shebener would have been usher to use because of Kiyui. I don't need to come on Huksa Mitzvah, so he's sure there's no Huksa. Bishlein, if you would tell me there's a Huksa that extends later on in the day, you could tell me there's another element. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that. He holds only while it's the Huk. So it's not that there's no Huksa. Ella, the idea over here is even the Shemen that was Mitaftef into the Kara, beneath it, and so on, since that Shemen had been set aside for Mitzvah Tov, therefore it remains Asur. Now, you're telling me that he doesn't hold a huksa l'mitzvah alone, without any isurim involved. What about the case from Sukkah, where it says, sichecha k'hilchata, you put up regular kosher tzchach on your sukkah, and then you decorate it. You decorate it with sheets. You decorate it with wall hangings. You decorate it with egozim, afarsikim, shkedim, rimonim, afarkalei shalanavim, atarot shel shibolim, or you have little cups that have glass cups with, glass jars with wine or with oil, or you have little baskets of solet. All of these things that you put up, even though they're perfectly edible, or they're perfectly usable for bedding if you get an extra guest, you can't use them. Certainly stapek them, you're not allowed to use them even during Chol HaMoed. Ad Motzei Yom Tov HaAcharon, until the end of Sukkot. Ve'im hitzna, le'yem hakol lefi tzna'o. If, however, you made a tznai over there, the Gemara explains the tznai is, I eini bodel miyam kol ben ha-shvashot, I have in mind during the entire period of ben ha-shvashot that I may still take them down because I need them. So then fine, then it doesn't become muktzah at the onset of the chag. So, isn't that true that Rabbi Shimon agrees? Why are you assuming that goes according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Shimon only holds of muktzah in a case we have both muktzah b'machmas mitzvah and muktzah b'machmas isur, and it's currently burning. And you ask me from a case of sukkah, where first of all, I mean, it could be that right now it's no longer, I mean, the sukkah may have collapsed. It's no longer even up anymore. You tell me I can't use it. So first of all, clearly, I mean, if it's huktzah b'nash mashot, it's huktzah the whole time. Over here, it was only huktzah as long as it's burning. So that violates any element of Rabbi Shimon. Furthermore, there's no iser involved. Why can't I? All I want to do is take a little cereal out, off of the wall that's in a basket. I can't do that. There's no iser involved in that. So you're telling me that clearly shows Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. Well, you're right, if you could prove to me that this is Rabbi Shimon. But why in the world would you think that this is Rabbi Shimon? It seems to be so built around concepts of Bukta that it shouts Rabbi Yehuda from every nook and cranny. So, umimai de Rabbi Shimon, he asks the Gemara. Ah, because the Tani Rabbi Fia by Yosef Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, ain't notes lean eight sim min asuka b'yom tov, ela min asamuchla, the Rabbi Shimon matir, the shavin besukat hachag bechag, shihi asura, the im hitna aleha, hakol lefi itna'o. Now here, Rabbi Yochanan himself was listening to the brisa that was being said over by Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, in which he describes Rabbi Shimon Shita. So to take down etzim from the sukkah itself, which is what he's talking about, and it's during Yom Tov, doesn't necessarily mean a sukkah of the Chag HaSukkot. I mean, a sukkah doesn't mean, a sukkah means from a patio covering. So you can't take it down on Yom Tov, but any Yom Tov, even if it's Pesach, you can't take it down. Shavuos, you can't take it down. This is true, even if there's no Isser involved. Obviously, we're not talking about a case with this Isser. Where would there be no Isser involved? It blew off, or it collapsed, whatever. You don't have to do anything. You just want to lift it up and use it for something. You can't. But Rabbi Shimon is matir. However, he's maskin that if it's a sukkah shal mitzvah, if it's a sukkah sachag bechag, it says umodim, he himself is made it to Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's chag asukot, that then it's Isser. Why is it Isser? If there's no iser of stira that's involved, why is it aser? Because it's uktzah the mitzvato, right? So why did you say Rabbi Yochanan the only case is where it's uktzah both the mitzvato and the isero? Here is maskim, even though it was never uktzah the isero. How do you explain that? And to the Gemara, all Rabbi Yochanan meant was ke'ein shemen shemener. He meant, I didn't say there's only one thing in this set. I didn't say that you need this unique combination of circumstances. What I said was that the cases in which it would be similar to Shem and Shemaner, namely, because it's huktzah b'mitzvato, it becomes, therefore, huktzah as an isur. But there's no comparison to the case of the sukkah, because when it comes to Shabbat itself, the mitzvah is only as long as the ner is burning, for Shabbat. So it's only huktzah for as long as it's going to be burning. Masha'in ken sukkah, the mitzvah is kol shiva. So if the mitzvah is kol shiva, you can't say, well, I mean, of course the das was on it in order to you. Who said? Of course the problem is, why does it say, including Yom Tov Achron Shachar? That doesn't make sense. Bishlem, if you're all the Rebbe Yehuda, you could say, as we do, that since it remained usher Bein HaShvashot, because Bein HaShvashot of Shemini Atzeret was still a Sofei of Sukkot, right? Okay, so I still have to sit in the Sukkot during that time. So at that point, it's Huktzah L'mitzvato during Bein HaShvashot of Shemini Atzeret, in which case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once something is Muktzah Bein HaShvashot, it's Muktzah the whole time. But Rabbi Shimon is Bedavka, the one who doesn't hold that. That's how we used Rabbi Shimon's shita to answer Rav yesterday about the stagecoach. That it was only while it was actually on it that remains awesome. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. Is that Rabbi Shimon does not hold of something that was Vuksaben HaShvashot. So how do you explain the end of the Mishnah over there at Sukkah? Where you're claiming, you bring a lie against Rabbi Yochanan, you say it's going like Rabbi Shimon, and it can't be going like Rabbi Shimon. You bring a riot from a different case that was going like Rabbi Shimon. It's an awfully strange way to do things. And Tosa says, indeed, that we have no choice but to say that last little addendum, Yom Tov Ha'akor Shokag, was not part of the original statement, which was only the Rabbi Shimon, and indeed is put in afterwards, according to the Roshik, it's all like Rabbi Yehuda. And if you're like Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, this would be true, Afilo B'Yom Tov Ha'akor Shokag. But how could we justify Shemini Atzeres answering decorations because of Ben HaShvashot, only the Rabbi Shimon? Fine. So therefore, it turns out, and now you see, we Bedavka took out the vav. That's the whole thing. Before we thought that it was saying, Hoel v'uktzal mitzvato v'uktzal isuro. So we have a unique combination. We're going to find something like that. So then we ask, what do you mean? Sukkah doesn't have that unique combination, still awesome. Answers, I didn't mean a unique combination. I meant one leads to the other. The fact that it's v'uktzal mitzvato means that we have to take the fact while it's burning, that it should remain usher because of that mitzvah very seriously. Now, remember that for the problem of a huktzala mitzvato, there would be no isur, as Tosis points out, of moving this limb. Because huktzala mitzvato, remember, for sukkah, in other words, why do we need huktzala isuro here at all? You're telling me it's like sukkah. So then the sukkah is no huktzala isuro. It's chalamoy. What's huktzala isuro? Says Tosis, what do you mean? If it wasn't Uktzal Yisuro, how would the mitzvah of Ner Shabbat, what's the point of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbat? Shalom Bayit, the whole deal, Shabbat's supposed to be beautiful, isn't it? Exactly. That's precisely why I will move my menorah to where I'm going. That's not a violation of the Uktzal Mitzvah, so that's the best use of it for Uktzal Mitzvah. To tell me that I won't use the oil in it for something else, very nice. But why can't I move it from place to place? So I have my little battery burner, let me go from place to place with it. I understand. The doctor want to do that because it's Shabbos. So the sukkah, which by definition is kabua, and that's how I have to use it, but the sukkah. So over there it's huktzah, and the sukkah can't take and use it for something else. But when I would move this lamp on Shabbos, I'm using it for its mitzvah. I'm not talking about drinking its oil. Therefore, I need to explain to you that there's also other elements involved here, are they not? So legabi that, there would be an issur of tiltul as well. Oh, that's a different issue, the Shema Yechaber. Again, Tosus would make that distinction. For that, I'd have to take a look at the what's in the Ka'ara. But even what's in the Ka'ara, why can't I move it? What am I doing? Am I taking it away from its mitzvah? I'm not doing anything against the mitzvah. I'm not shaking by circuit. I'm sleeping on the sheets. I'm using it against the mitzvah. Interesting how this is sort of just breaking open. You know, you see all these like smaller and smaller distinctions becoming evident as you go along. So, now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, in Muktzel Rabbi Shimon, El Grogrot Betzimukim Dovat. It is an interesting statement. The only thing that's Muktzel of Rabbi Shimon is raisins. What is this referring to? Well, it turns out that there is an additional case. Remember, this all started with the question of the chitin that you scattered in on the field or in your yard. So there was an intent to have them germinate. What was interesting over there was that we considered the possibility that Aliyah ben Rabbi Shimon, even though no isur at all is involved, the kitsui mihadat was sufficient to create a situation of muktza, and we were told for that. Rabbi Yochanan said, no. You need elements of mitzvah. But there's an interesting additional element, which is the making of raisins, or the making of figs, dried figs. Because actually what you do over there is, you set it aside in the sun. But when it's set aside in the sun, when it stays in the sun for a while, it goes through a stage in which it's not edible. It's just like rotted until it dehydrates completely. So there you're introducing yet an additional point. To say I was just mikatze midati, because I decided I want to wait till it dries. Okay, so now I changed my mind. Now I don't want to wait till it dries. Who's to tell me that I can't change my mind? If, however, says Reish Lakish, it's going to go through a stage in which I won't be able to change my mind because it's disgusting to eat. So over there, the act of putting it aside in the sun is more than just a mental act. It's actually taking it out of the realm of Oakland. And at that point, even though it hasn't been ruined yet, it's still considered to be out of mind completely. Even I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Sorry? Why is that different than Moses? Lee Moses. And if you do find a use? No, we haven't seen, according to Rabbi Shimon, we haven't defined a mutzu machmat gufo without itkatsoi. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon yet. Right? In other words, Rabbi Shimon doesn't say you can't use a stone. You're saying it's like a stone. But what's wrong with a stone? Over here, it's because of the fact that you set it aside. Therefore, it becomes the equivalent of what we call a mutzu machmat gufo. We'll have to see what happens to Rabbi Shimon in these cases. So there, again, so what he's saying is, given that you open now the mind to the shayla of something usable, a usable foodstuff, and you want to know whether it would be considered free books, let me tell you something. There is a case like that, but only one. Grogrog for tzimukim. And over there, it's because of the fact that it's going to be going through this stage. Are you saying only grogrog for tzimukim? I mean, you say only grogrog for tzimukim. By the way, Tosus asks earlier that it's rather strange that Reb Yochanan should have answered that the only case which is similar is Shemen Shebenere. I mean, why didn't he throw in the Gorgor Petzimukim? Difficult to believe that he argues on Reish Lakim. We never saw Machlokas about this. What's more, I mean, isn't it more similar to Gorgor Petzimukim? In other words, basically, when you throw the chit, right now they're edible. When they take root and they become now prolochita, so over there they're not going to be edible, right? So the same thing as the tzimukim. You put the grapes aside. Right now they're edible. They're going to be going through an inedible stage. Seems that would be the better comparison than to talk about Shem and Shemaner, where nothing's going to happen to it when the fire isn't burning it. Actually, he leaves that question sort of hanging, because it seems to be more similar to that. There's no mitzvah. There's no iser. I mean, why do you have to introduce a case where you've got these new elements in it, where you have a case of achila? Literally a case of, and then you can bring out, listen here, the difference is that over there you set it aside for this event to take place in the sun, that, yes. But over here, why, who's to say that you were Makatsuk Bidatcha meanwhile? Esther Gemara, but wait, you're saying only Grogor Tzimukim, Midi Afrin alone. I mean, it says over here, Latanya, Haya Ochel B'Te'inim. So guy's eating figs. Go here, and he leaves some over. He decides he's going to make dried figs out of it. Or he's eating anavim. And he doesn't have any more appetite. Both here. He takes it up to the roof. He can't eat them anymore until he's mazbin them, particularly for achila, when they become now royal achila. In other words, even if, let's say, by next Shabbos they're ready to eat, but he wasn't mazbin them before Shabbos to eat, so by Shabbos afternoon, he decides, look, they're ready. Let me go up and eat some. He can't eat them. V'chein atomer. And by the way, the same thing is true about afarsakim, chavushim, u'bishar kol minei peirot. Now, these cases, afarsakim, chavushim, these things do not go through that middle stage in which they're not roy. I mean, they may not be nice, but they're certainly not completely mitpul kal before they dry. You're drying apples. The apples are still edible, even though they're not completely dry. So now, money. Let me ask you something. Who is the author of that? I mean, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Because, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's obvious. I don't need it. I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, my hetra lo dach yabi adai, eat like muksa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, muksa is muksa, even when it's muksa all on its own and you didn't do anything. Over here, it specifies you decided to take it up to the roof and put it on the roof to dry. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need for you to decide anything. He holds just the opposite. It has to be minamuchan. It has to be something that you would have to set aside to use. Why would I have to have that you set it aside?
Put it aside on Shabbos?
No. Before. So he holds Yitlay Mutzes. Obviously, if you set it aside, I mean, what's the point of telling me this big fish? It's got to be true. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. That's the point. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, what it's saying over here is Dechia B'Yadayim, even though Lamaisa, it doesn't necessarily become useless in between, is sufficient to answer. So why does Reish Lakish not see that? Says the Gemara, no. It's actually Rabbi Yehuda. You'll say, what's the point? I mean, isn't it obvious? No, it's not. Because we need the case here because it says he was eating. Haya ochel. He was sitting and eating. So since it says haya ochel, that's the Chiddush Aliyah of the Rabbi Yehuda. It's trichalei. Saka daita chamina, even the ka'achil, the azil, loli boy azmana. I mean, I might think that, look, I mean, the guy over here is sitting and eating. Simameva, you know, I mean, he puts some away. Isn't it very common, anybody who's put his fruit back in the fridge, he's got his little plate of fruit. And after he finishes the plate, he decides to go back to the fridge, takes him out of the fridge, and adds one to the plate. So he thought he was finished. Turns out he wasn't finished. Well, what's that understand? So in this case, basically, he did the equivalent of putting him in the fridge, because he knows they were going to rot if he's in the house. So he takes him up to the roof to dry out. Okay, so now he decides he wants to eat more. So what's so bad about that? So I might think I'll leave it to review with that, but that's considered to be not mukta. Because Adarab only went there in the middle of his eating, and he changed his mind, he wants more now that it's Shabbos. What's wrong? So maybe Loli Boy Azmanar. I don't need Azman in that case. I was just setting it aside for the middle of a meal. Kamashmalan, Kivan the Halan Lagan, Asuchi Azfi Ladai Taminai. Therefore comes to tell me, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's not mitkalkel, like quince or like peach. So nonetheless, once he's out of mind, it's considered to be mukta, leave it.
That was if it was done on Shabbos, you could do that on Shabbos.
Well, that's a question whether there's a deal din or the Yesh Mukta Lachatzi Shabbat that we'll see later. It's a machlok. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Mirev. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, asked his father what would be the din about Patz'ilei Timara le Rabbi Shimon. Now, over here, Patz'ilei Timara are the opposite of Tzimukim. What you do with Tzimukim is that you take something that is currently edible, you put it in the sun in order to dry out and now to be preserved. Over here, you take unripe dates, you put them in these baskets that are made out of date products, you know, woven lulav and so on, and you let them sit there to ripen in the basket. So currently, they're not completely edible, and you'd like them to fill completely and to be now ripe in the basket. But maybe that's like the tzimukim, being as you've set it aside in the basket to ripen, that's the equivalent of putting them on the roof to dry. Or do we say that over here it's continuing the same process of Bishul, which was before, and you could have eaten them now? And Rebbe answered, look, listen here. Ein muktzil Rebbe Shimon Elodog wrote Petzimukim Bilvad. It's only that case, which is that not only does it go through the phase in which it's not Rovui, but you are also Doka the Adayim, and you have, therefore, two elements. You don't have those two elements over here. Even though you put them away in the basket, there's no interim stage. Yeah, it could be eaten now. So, about Tanan, wait, are we saying now that, I mean, I assume this was not a theoretical discussion. I mean, if Rebbe's son is asking him what the din is about eating these dates, it must be that Rebbe himself agrees that look is like Rebbe Shimon. I mean, otherwise, what are we talking about, this little household communication here? So you're telling me, therefore, Rebbe doesn't hold a muktzah, right? Again, when we say doesn't hold a mukta, we mean always, when you're passing like Rabbi Shimon and mukta, it means you don't hold a mukta. Now what we call mukta? What we call mukta is Aliba Rabbi Shimon. Let's play mukta means this idea of mukta is something that becomes mukta all on its own and can't be moved at all, and so on. That it becomes the equivalent of a stone that you're not allowed to do anything with. Does he hold that? But, I mean, doesn't it say Beferish, but it's not. Ein mashkin v'shoftin et hamidbariyot, avo mashkin v'shochatin et habayatot. So the question is, what happens on a chag when you have animals that come, you know, you're allowed to do shvita and so on, but what happens if an animal, which is very common, you have animals that are left to graze all summer, and basically you're not going to think about using them for food because you never see them. They're completely set aside to go grazing, they pasture all for the summer and they get fat, and then you'll use them. So here the Mishnah says that when it comes to Yontif, and before doing Shvita, by the way, seems to be one of these slow days here. Maybe there's a Russian lady that plays violin outside. Yeah, I mean, there's certain days where it would just be so nice to have Maybe yes. Assuming lullabies.
Final touch.
Or maybe it's the hum. Maybe it might be the hum of the fan. There's definitely this very mellow feeling in the room. Virginia, what have you been putting in those cups? All right, I try again. The norm before Shrita was to give a last request
to the cow.
And the last request would be a good drink before the end. Now, this was actually a cynical move because the good drink before the end allowed you to skin the cow better. Of course, the poor cow didn't know that. And so it's drinking. So now it says in the Mishnah, you don't give that drink or sheft midbariot, which are animals that are left in the midbars in the wilderness. Do not confuse the word midbar with the English word desert. It's not the same. This is a very profound misconception. A midbar simply means a place where people are not settled. It's nothing to do with rainfall. But shochatin et abayatot. You can be mashkin and shochet animals who live in the house. The Tanya. Now the Braisa explains, what do we mean when we say midbariot and bayatot? So elei midbariot. What are called midbariot? Toshi yotzot pesach, minyat vasot bravia. Look, you let them out to the wild Pesach time, and they come back in when the start of the rainy season. So you don't see them for months on end. Bayatot, those are animals that go out to graze, and they come back at night. So koshi yotzot for all tzchus. What chum? The baot v'lanot betoch atchum, like those tzvat cows. They go out in the morning, walk all the way down to Amuka, have a lot of fun, and then at night you can see them coming back in, all on their own, nobody bothers them. They're on a very nice schedule, day after day. So that's called by a thought. Rebbe says, and here's our problem, is that it's Rebbe who's making this psak over here. Rebbe on there. Elu ve'elu bayatot. Nah, even if they go out for 6 months at a time to graze and you never see them, that's called baked tea. When we're talking about midbariot, we're talking about feral cows. The kind that will eat you up if you're not careful. They never come into town. They never come into the yishuv. You'll notice that those tzvat cows, when they run out of food, they're walking through the main streets looking for the garbage pails. You know that? You remember, Richie? In the snow, what was going on? Traffic was totally snow. These cows had nothing to eat. They invaded the town. And they decided they're going to go wild. So if they don't come into town, fine, then they're considered to be midbariot. So now here you've got Rebbe himself, who clearly is saying that something that you don't have in mind is considered to be muktzah. I don't get it. You just said he passes like Rebbe Shimon. But I assume if you were asking him, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon, he passes like Rebbe Shimon. So why over here is he saying, well, now if you're coming to Shech, obviously it's got to be Mukhan, I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda. And what is Mukhan, I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda? Well, let's discuss that. Does it have to come in every night? Does it come in during the winter? Or even not? I mean, so what? How do you explain that? Well, I got a number of possibilities. Ibais Ema, one possibility is that I can look at the midbariot as the equivalent of grogrot v'tzimukim danya. Because the truth is, once I let these out to graze, I'm not going to find them again.
Sounds neat.
You don't go very far. And when you do, when you do, I follow. So the shaila over here is the same way that the grogrot v'tzimukim are basically unusable to you during that interim period, in a sense, those cows are unusable to you. Because even if you make up your mind that you'd like to shecht one, where are you going to find it? I mean, you're going to have to go. You're going to go on a two-day tour to try to find out where your particular cow is at this time. So for all intents and purposes, we may view this as a dichoy biyadayim in which it becomes unusable. So it's the same as grogrot v'tzimukim. So that's one possibility. Again, it's not exactly the same, so we're offering this only as a possibility, because it's Ibai Ema, because the grogrot v'tzimukim are truly, because of themselves, unusable. Mashenken over here, the dich v'yadayim is unusable only because of the question of how much tirka I'm willing to take to use. Is that quite the same? But you could see that maybe Rebbe Shimon would be moda in this case, and therefore Rebbe here too was going on leave to Rebbe Shimon. That's one possibility.
Even though they'll never come back?
What's that?
They never come back?
They never come back.
Nobody wants to find a road a challenge or like.
Yeah, he agrees.
That's what they still consider owned by you?
For a while.
Yeah, sure they're owned by you. They got my brand in it.
Even though they never come back on
it. It says Fox's Den right on the front.
They never come back unless you go on.
Well, that's why I own a helicopter. Because they're the first Texas ranchers.
Nowadays you can put a chip in their ear.
That's what they do, actually. Yeah.
This is a mostly issue at all. Why can't it be a CETA issue? You're out wild.
No. Because it's a domesticated animal. It's not shy of the CETA. It's considered to be neat, so even though it's out, it's not really feral. I was joking. No. But it doesn't run away from me. It's just happy grazing. It might even smile when it sees me.
It sounds like you're talking about a teenager.
No, a teenager is hot.
So the audience is also considered domesticated.
Yeah. So that's one approach. Ibrahim's aim, or I mean, we could say that when Rebbe answered the question about the Patsi'ilei Tamara, he didn't mean to imply that he agrees that that's not halacha. They were having a theoretical discussion. And maybe his son asked him, what would the din be, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon, for Patsi'ilei Tamara? And he told him that Patsi'ilei Tamara are not the same as Grogot Vatsimukim. So it was, I'll leave it to the Dvar de Rebbe Shimon Karmarle. It doesn't mean that he agrees with it. Leila Zvirle, the Rebbe himself didn't agree with that. Or maybe the latter case in the Braita of the Midvariot and so on, maybe he was only talking to the Chachamim according to their Shita. In other words, maybe what he was saying was like this: look, frankly, to me it doesn't make any difference. I don't care if they're Midvariot, they're Baitot, I mean, whatever. You guys who hold halachas like Rebbe Yehuda, and you're defining Midvariot and Baitot in this way. Ah, come on. I mean, isn't that going a little bit too far? I mean, at least agree with me. Look, I'm not going to argue with you about this. I've talked myself blue on the subject. You still insist that you come out walking like Rebbe Yehuda, fine. But at least, Liditru, Odu Lemiat, at least agree to me about a case where Echad Yotzo to Pesach and Yechrosot for Rebiyah. I mean, these things positively are living in your living room if they come back after 6 months. So Memela, that should be considered to be Baitot, not Midbariot. And the Rabbanan say, no, nonetheless, we're going to be Machmir even on such a case if they're considered to be Midbariot. So we have three possibilities, according to two of which, Rebbe still comes out holding like Rebbe Shimon. Are we clear about this? Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Amru Halakas Rebbe Shimon. They say, oh boy, one of those. They say, once the Gemara starts talking about the proverbial they, we're in big trouble. Because they say an awful lot of things like that. So, they sure do. So they say that the Halakas is like Rebbe Shimon. Now we thought that means that Rebbe Yochanan was going in for the they say. You know, they said that the belt sucked, so it must be that it's true. So, Umi Om Rabbi Yochanan, Achi, did Rabbi Yochanan say that? Well, Boimine, Ahu Saba, Koruya, Vamele Saruya, there was this old man who was a Korean, some say he was a Syrian, whatever. He asked Rabbi Yochanan, whether Kina Shel Tarnagoli, Mala Til Tulib Shabbos, can I carry one of those, you know, little coops, little cage for Tarnagolim on Shabbos? Oh, my land, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, well, aren't those just made for tarnagoles? How are you going to use it? We'll see what he actually meant. So now, what's the problem? If according to Rabbi Yochanan, we hold of Rabbi Shimon, because they say halakha like Rabbi Shimon, why is there a problem of moving these Korean tarnagoles? I mean, it's not muksik, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the muksik. So why was he saying, what do you mean? I thought that's made for tarnagolim. Why would you be using it? That's a nice argument for Rabbi Yehuda. But it's a meaningless statement to leave it to Rabbi Shimon. No, we're talking about over here, it has a dead Ephroach mate in it. It has a dead Ephroach. And that's what he meant. What he said was, I mean, isn't that something where tarnagolim, I mean, you'll find anything in there. I mean, it's probably stuff there that's muksik. So that would be true, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, That's not so clear. Whatever. No, you want to use it because your kids are putting on a little show this Shabbos and you want to make a stage out of them. So, hey, Nichol Amar Baramema. This is all very nice. According to Mar Baramema, who quotes Rabbah, is saying that Moda, hi, Rabbi Shimon, Babalekhaim Shemetu Shasuri. But even Rabbi Shimon is Moda. Now, even though Lamaisa, one of the model cases of Rabbi Aaron, you don't look happy this morning. This sugi is enough to make anybody happy. So even though Rabbi Shimon is his model case is mechatzkin et hanevelah l'fnei haklavim, means you can cut up a dead animal and it's and you can see it's a dog. Obviously, I mean, what are you telling me that it's motivalic I'm Shemason? That the mukta, how could you cut up a dead animal that died on Shabbos? That died on Shabbos. So there the Gemara is a machalik between an animal that was ill and was daitai aluya, that it wasn't going to survive. So over there, that's how it says to be mukta. But what Rabbah was saying over here is that Rabbi Shimon is made if something died without your seeing it before Shabbos, and having in mind to use it as dog food, that lamaisa, it would be mukta. Okay, if you hold of that, then we could understand why Rabbi Yochanan made this comment. I thought that that's meant for the birds. That's where that statement comes from.
For the birds?
That's for the birds, isn't it? That's for the birds. It means you can't use it on Shabbos, essentially. But it was only said, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, the way the Gemara is having me alone.
I didn't catch that.
You've never heard that it's for the birds? Somebody wants to tell you something is useless, and that's for the birds. Why would they say it's for the birds? Why not it's for the monkeys? Why not? Because of this sugya. Here he asked him, can I use this for my kids? And I said, no, it's for the birds. Corny jokes don't go over this. All right. So, if you hold that what he meant, when he said it's for the birds, he meant there's going to be dead birds and it's this, you can't use it. Fine. That's only true if he holds that a dead bird is usher. But according to my brother, Rabbi Yosef, Bishmei Nerava, who holds that Chalukai Rabbi Shimon Afilu Mabalei Chayim Shemetu Sheim Mutarim, that actually Rabbi Shimon holds even Balei Chayim that died are considered to be mutar, even though it wasn't died to Elui Mibayon. So what are you going to say, Michael Amima?
The dead animal itself is the thing that's carrying it. So I guess it would be the same.
Sure. Achlo Ma'askinan Did he eat Leidetza? The case over here is that it has a newly laid egg. And Rabbi Shimon is made that nolad is asur. So even though mukta is not, but nolad is a step above because it wasn't here at all. And therefore, he was saying, isn't this for the birds? Meaning that it will have eggs in it? What?
Isn't the chicken dying? Isn't that nolad also?
No. What? No, not necessarily.
It's
because
alive and now he's dead.
Yeah, but maybe that's not called nolad. That depends on whether we hold that something alive is a made for actually clothing, which is a different issue, which let's not get into. But if it wasn't here, we will later, but not yet. But if it's something that wasn't here at all, then it's going to be Nola. I bomber Rav Nachman. I thought Rav Nachman said, man de eat le mukta, eat le Nola. Man de let le mukta, let le Nola. You're assuming that Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold the mukta, would still hold it as a din of Nola, which is more than mukta. Rav Nachman reports that the din of Nola and mukta are precisely the same. If you don't hold the mukta, then you don't hold the Nola. So what are you telling me? The reason that Rabbi Shimon would agree in this case that it's usher is because there's Nola in it. But he doesn't hold the mukta. Why would he hold the Nola? Well, you're right. Okay. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the Itle Beitzat Ephra. Point over here is that it has an egg in it which contains a dead embryo. So there's a chick in the egg. You can't even use this for dog food because the dog is not going to eat it because of the shells. And therefore, it's totally usher here. Ki usher gizwa Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halakha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Wow. Here Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying, Alok is Rabbi Yehuda, even though he just said, they say Alok is like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yeshua and Levi on Alok Rabbi Shimon. Om Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef. And now I understand. I'm in the Omer Rabbi Barbapan on Rabbi Yochanan. They said this over such a funny way, and I never caught what it meant. That Rabbi Yochanan was reported as having said that they say that Alok is Rabbi Shimon, meaning that's the shot. Omru, they say, and certainly it's not true. The Lelo Sphirolay, if you hold it something, you don't say they say. You say, I'll look like Rabbi Shimon. So it must mean that he doesn't hold of it, and that's why he's putting it down by saying, well, they say. What that means. Amale Abayel Rabbi Yosef. Abayel said to Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand. It took you this now to hear that Rabbi Yochanan is asking like Rabbi Yehuda? And until now you didn't chop that he didn't hold of Rabbi Shimon? Ba'at lo tizba, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, you didn't understand yourself before you heard this Rabbi Yitzchak said that he couldn't possibly have held like Rabbi Shimon. There was a famous Maisa where Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Asi came to Rabbi Abba min Haifa's house. And there was poor Rabbi Asi who had put down his jacket on the couch and the lamp falls on his jacket. Oy, boy, boy. So the Nafa Minarta Aglimi de Rabbi Asi, the Lo Tiltala, Rabbi Asi did not move his jacket. And the question is, I mean, why couldn't he move his jacket? I mean, the Na'er, the Menorah, and so on and so forth. That's different approaches. Some learn that he was chas al menorah. And he was afraid he would break it. He didn't want to move it. So the poor guy had to go to davening without his jacket, which ruined his career. It was a disaster. That's how everybody knows this Misa. You all know this Misa. So why was it then that such a terrible thing should have happened? Must be because Rav Ashi was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan Paschke is like Rav Yehuda, and therefore he held that the menorah was mumsa. Because according to Rav Shimon, what's the problem? Why can't I move the menorah off the jacket? You just go pick it up and put it aside. It must be therefore the Rav Yochanan held like Rav Yehuda's fear, like he's like mumsa. Omar Lay. So he said to him, you're talking about that famous case? The menorah case? Oh boy. Menarta Kamra, that case is different. Menarta Shining. The Omer of Akbar, Hanina Omer of Asi, Hora Reish Lokish Bet Sidon, Minorah Nitzelet B'yado Achat Muntar L'taltala, B'shtei Yadav Asur L'taltala, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ono Ein Ono Ela B'ner to Rabbi Shimon, Abo Minorah, Dei Nitla B'yado Achat, Dei Nitla B'shtei Yadav, Asur L'taltala. It's a fascinating din. So first they said, Reish Lokish in Sidon said, that any menorah that is too heavy to be carried easily in one hand, and you would be careful to carry it in two hands, is clearly something that you don't want moving around on Shabbos lightly, and you would be koveya makom for it, you would set it aside. Sure. That becomes now the equivalent of mukzva machmat chisaron kis. Anything that I am koveya particular makom for cannot be moved. And Rabbi Yochanan himself paskened that even though we hold the Rabbi Shimon in the dinim of ner, legabe mius, and so on, but not when it comes to this. When it comes to a menorah, over there, even if it would be a one-handed menorah, it would be usher. The time of my why, Rabbi Rav Yezidam Tavayu, Ho il vatam koveya lamakom. Since this is something that people generally do not want carried around, and it's beautiful, it's decorative and expensive, that's something that is muksa on Shabbos, even if you hold of Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the din of Ner Cheres. So why are you bringing me a riot from Rav Asi that I am supposed to know because of the menorah, Maisa, that it must be that he held the Rabbi Yehuda? On the contrary, you could hold the Rabbi Shimon, but by menorah you have a unique case. By menorah you have a problem of Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. Over there, maybe he would be modus, or Rav Asi didn't move this.
Would Rabbi Shimon be modus?
Because something which moves with two hands, you're more careful with. It means that it's more easily dropped, and it's a... I mean, Rabbi Yochanan Lysa doesn't make that distinction, but that shows us what we're talking about. We're introducing now a new issue that we never introduced before. Because what we're talking about over here is, since muktzah involves the movement of a thing from its place, until now we've been talking about muktzah in terms of your mind to use it. But a new concept of muktzah, which is a thing that is meant to remain where it is, forget about whether you're going to use it. That's not the point. Cannot be moved because it's meant to be where it is. It's a whole new idea. It's not its use. That's the question here. It's the kliyat morkom that we're defining. That now introduces now on this daf a new sugya we didn't think about before. So let's just think about the new issues that have been introduced today. The new issues are this concept of kliyat morkom, which turns into an idea of muktzah machmat chisaron kis, which has a new elements in it. We haven't yet seen it evolve in that fashion. And we've spoken about a new idea of being mikatseya midatcha, something which will go through a phase in which it's not usable, and we've seen that Rabbi Shimon is moda even to that, even where it's usable. So an itkatsoy midaita, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, which is both active, mental, and also objective. Because it has an objective component, such as the tzimukim and the grogrot. We have a new muktzah that Rabbi Shimon is moda to, which is active muktzah. Okay. That's because it's Shabbat Chag Shaini. The Omer Lerav Kanav Rav Asi L'Rav. Oh, he hooked it up. Omer Lerav, yeah. This case, could I Rabbi Shimon, this is B'chalat B'Shabbat. Ah, Omer Lerav Kanav Rav Asi L'Rav Yochanan. Chitim she'zar'an bekarka, u'betzim she'tachat ha'tarnagolet, ma'u. Ki let me the Rabbi Shimon muktzeket lo dachli v'yadayim. Aval eke de dachli v'yadayim itle muktze. O di Omer Lerav Shna. Omer Lerav ein muktze Rabbi Shimon in something that's roy to use. Ela shemen she'bener b'sha'a she'hu dolek. What? And just took some mitzvot, he wouldn't hold up. But Danya Sikha Kil Kata, ויתרה בקרמים ובסדינים המצוירים, בתלה באגוזים, הפרסקים, שקדים, רימונים, הפרקלי ענבים, עטרות השיבולים, יינות, שמנים וסלטות, אסור להסתפק מענב מצוי יום טוב האחרון, ואם יתנה עליהם הכל לפי תנאות. Well, that's beautiful, but be my Rebbe Shimoni. Ah, the Tani Rebbe here by Yosef Rebbe Yochanan. Ein nodlin etzim menasukah b'yom tov ela menasamuchla v'Rebbe Shimon matir v'shavin b'sukat achag b'chag shiasura v'im itna le'akol lefitna'o. Well, ke'ein shemen shebener kamin. Horeb hupzal mitzvato hupzal isuro itvanam yom Rebbe Baravam Rebbe Yochanan. Ein muksel Rebbe Shimon ela ke'ein shemen shebener v'shah shudolek horeb hupzal mitzvato hupzal isuro. Ein mutzur Rabbi Shimon al grogrot v'tzimukim bilvat. What? Midi achrina lo? V'atanya hayalchel v'atayinim v'otir ve'alan legag la'asot miyam grogrot. Or hayalchel v'anabim v'otir miyam ve'alan legag la'asot miyam v'tzimukim. Lo yofal ach yasmin. Hey, and look at the next words. V'kinat on there. V'afarsakim v'chavushim u'bishar kol minei perot. Now money. Ilay me Rabbi Yehuda, what's the chiddush? Am I echad lo dachi be'adayim? Itlay mukta echad dachi be'adayim lo koshike. El alav Rabbi Shimon. And it's not because the tzimukim and the grogrot go rotten in the middle. Now the olam is Rabbi Yehuda. The chiddush is ochel it's trichale. Rather ochel, not ochel. Ochel it's trichale. Sal kadate chamina. Kivan dika akro v'azio loli boy hazmana. Kamashron that nonetheless, kivan de alam lagar. Asuchi asked for the item now, and either will have kavanah to eat at the fairish of Basmanah or not. Boy, me Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Mirav. Hats ilate moral, Rabbi Shimon, ma. Omar lay ein muksel Rabbi Shimon, ela grogrod betzimukim bilvat. Which means, in other words, that Rabbi agrees with Rabbi Shimon and let lay muksel. What's none? Ein mashkin v'shochatin on yontev. Et hamit bariyot, aval mashkin v'shochatin et habayatot, v'tanya. Elohim Midbariot Koshi Yotzot Bepesach V'Nechanasot Revia Bayetot Koshi Yotzot V'Ra'ot Chutz V'Tchum U'Ba'ot V'Lanot B'Toch Atchum. And here's the piece for us. Rebbe Omer Elo Ve'Elo Bayetot Ein Ve'Elohim Midbariot, only those that are Ra'ot Eifer Ve'Ein Nechanasot V'Yishuv at all. Lo B'Imot Ha'ma V'Lo B'Imot Ha'Geshamim. So obviously he holds it's Osir Teshech Dan Yantar if it's Eino Min HaMukha. Just like Rebbe Yudah, not like Rebbe Shimon. Well, maybe by Tenani Nami could go grow up with Simukim Dami. Ibai Tema, maybe when he passed it over there about the Patsile tomorrow, he meant if you hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamale, but he himself Lelo Sphirale. Or possibly by Tema, this business about the Shek the Ganyanta, he also didn't hold up personally, he was saying, Ladibrayam the Rabbanan Gamale. He said, look, Ladidi makes a difference, because let the Muktzik flop. But Liditru at least agree, utterly miyad, the heck of the Yotzot, the Pesach, and the Ganazot, the Revia, that's not even called Minbariot. That's called Bayatot, you know. And the Rabbonet say, no, that's Minbariot. Amar Rabba Barbachanam Rabbi Yochanan, Amru halokas Rabbi Shimon. Really? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Asi? That halokas like Rabbi Shimon? Who boy minay ahu sabah Korean, v'anil ha-sarian, Rabbi Yochanan, kina shal tarnagolet, ma'alit otulik v'shabat, omalek, luma sui, alo the tarnagolim. What's that mean according to Rabbi Shimon? Well, it's only Lamar Bar Meimar, Mishmeid Rava, that mode of Rabbi Shimon, Balakayim Shemeid, Chester. But what if you're the Marbarator of Yosef, Mishmeid Rava, who holds a Cholokai Rabbi Shimon after the Balakayim Shemeid? So what would be then over there? He holds their Mutar, Michael Meimar. After my Askinan, but he eat Beit Beitzah. So, because what? Because it's Nola? Om Reb Nachman, man, the Itle Mukza, Itle Nola. But man, the Letle Mukza, namely Rabbi Shimon, Ledley no let either. Okay. It's talking about it's a beitzah tefloah. They're completely unusable. Kiyata Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef Omer Rabbi Yochanan, halakha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Ben Levi Omer halakha Rabbi Shimon. Omer Rabbi Yosef, oh, Heinad Omer Rabbi Barbachanan Rabbi Yochanan, Omru halakha Rabbi Shimon. That's what he meant. Omru, what he holds personally, halakha Rabbi Yehuda, unless you're saying Rabbi Yitzchak. Omer Rabbi Yosef, what? Before Rabbi Yitzchak came along, you couldn't figure that out. Ba'at lo tizbah, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda. Ha Rabava, and Rabasi came to Rabava in Haifa, Venofa Manatag Limit Rabasi, Velo Tiltava. My time allowed me shown the Rabasi Tamid Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan was Rabbi Yehuda. These time hooks him. I'm like, no. Manata Kamit, it's a special case, Manata Shai. Dom Rabaka Bakanin, Om Rabasi, Hora Reshwakish Pitsidon, Minorah, and he tell it to be Adoakat, Mutalatatama. Shteyatav Asulatalta, Rabbi Yochanan, Anu, in Lenel of Nerik Rabbi Shimon. But menorah, many tell us the other achat, many tell us the other, asur l'tatal. Why is that? Time am I, Rabbi Yosef Ritavayu, who il v'adam kovea la makom.
That was easy to segregate. Happy to find